The football manager, Alex Ferguson, is renowned for having great strength of character and also for developing great strength of character in the men and the boys who played in his team. Like Ferguson himself, the squad in Manchester United generally seemed to have determination to never give up, no matter how little time was left on the clock. They always seemed to have this belief that it was still possible for them to go and score the winning goal. And in a recent interview with an actor from Northern Ireland called Jimmy Nesbitt, Alex Ferguson said, "I think all my teams had perseverance. They never gave in." And in that same interview, when asked how it was that he came to be such a good manager of men, Ferguson credited his childhood upbringing in Scotland as having formed good character in him. He said, "I had a good foundation. I had good people around me. And one of the institutions that he mentioned was the Boys' Brigade." And this struck a chord with Nesbitt, who started then to quote the Boys' Brigade hymn. Some of you here might know what that is. In the first line of the chorus, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll." And this obviously was recognized by Alex Ferguson because he chimed in and he finished off the chorus. "Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love." And I saw this because a friend shared it on social media. But to be honest with you, as I watched this video clip of this interview with Alex Ferguson and heard him talking about having attended the Boys' Brigade and then quoting the words of this hymn, I felt really sad. Because here are two men who remember from 40 or 50 or maybe even 60 years before words that contain gospel truths. Words which, if perhaps they took heed to them, or if the Holy Spirit blessed those words to their hearts, could point them to the one who can give them hope. And yet we find them unsaved, two lost souls. Though they're admired and in the world's eyes they're very accomplished men, they're just two lost souls at the end of the day, and they don't have any hope. You see, there is an eternity of difference between the strongest hope of a determined man towards an objective, whatever that objective would be, winning the Premier League or getting a promotion. There's an eternity of difference between human hope and effort and true Christian hope, which is not simply bravely hoping against the odds. It's not just crossing your fingers and hoping for the best, as we say. Christian hope is founded on the unshakable foundation, which is the person and work of Jesus Christ. And this hope alone is truly sure and steadfast. And it is only this hope that provides a true anchor for the soul, which I trust you'll now have seen as the theme for this evening, even in the hymns that we sang. There are many people out there in the world who have no hope. It's something that we've become very aware of, even in my own town of Ballymena, where I live. Young people, they don't see the point to living. They don't see the purpose in their existence. And often that leads to one very sad outcome. But there is hope. There is, as Hebrews chapter 6 tells us, a hope that is sure and steadfast. And I want to look at this with you this evening, taking as our text the words of verse 18 and 19, "The hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." And I want to look, first of all, at hope presented. Hope presented. You see, in verse 18, we find this, "the hope set before us." And that word hope means to anticipate with pleasure. It could also mean expectation or confidence. And the hope that is in view here is set before us, says the Apostle Paul. And it is an object. Somebody sets a plate of dinner before you on the table, it's an object and you give your attention to it. It's something that is external to you. And just like that, this hope is not something which has come out of you or I. If you are saved tonight, you possess hope of eternal life, Christian hope. But it didn't come from us. We received it. It was set before us in the Scriptures. And this is the hope of eternal life in the gospel. And to look into this a little further, this hope that is presented to all of mankind who hears the proclamation of the gospel, I want you to turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 2. So just go there now, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, whether you might think this way or whether you would disagree with me, tonight in this meeting, if you're unsaved, can I tell you that the reality of your situation in the light of God's word is that you do not have hope of eternal life? You might be hoping to get to heaven by being a good person, or by coming to this church, or by being kind to other people. That is not the same thing as having a hope of eternal life. That is not a sure and a steadfast hope. That's a hope in you and in your works. So look with me at Ephesians chapter 2 and read in verse 12. He's speaking to people who now believe in Christ. But look what he says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, referring to a point in the past, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is the unbeliever. The Bible says, unbeliever tonight, unsaved person, you have no hope because you're without Christ. You have no basis on which to hope for eternal life. Many people have a hope. They hope perhaps for a possession. They hope to achieve a certain goal, a life goal. Tick off items on your bucket list, and you hope to tick those items off. But this is much more important. This is the hope of eternal life. And if tonight you're outside of Christ, you don't have it. If tonight you're basing your hope of eternal life on your good morals, upon your performance, you don't have a hope of eternal life. Move on with me throughout this passage. Look at verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's a change here. There's a change because the person who was once without Christ is now in Christ Jesus. And it says that they have a new position. They used to be far off, but now are made nigh. This is the only basis for the hope of eternal life. This is the hope that's presented in our text this evening. One last verse out of Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 17. And we're considering, remember, hope presented. The hope that is set before us. Verse 17 of Ephesians 2 says, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. I want to explain what that verse means. It's referring to two people groups. Two ethnic people groups. Those who are afar off, those are the Gentiles. That includes us, because we're not Jews. And them that were nigh, those are the Jews, because those are the people group from which the Lord Jesus came. And so what we're finding here is that the hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus is presented faithfully to all kinds of people. And you know, the good news in that tonight is that that includes you. You have this hope presented before you, even this evening, again. Perhaps it's not the first time that it has been presented before you, but yet you've come to God's house tonight, and once again, the hope of eternal life is presented. But if we look back at our text, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 6, it's clear that the writer is not speaking of the unsaved, as we have noted. He's speaking rather of himself and of other believers, of those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says that we have this hope. And so these are people who have trusted in Christ, and therefore we could say that they possess hope. And that's my second point in this text, hope possessed. Look at verse 18. And the second part of the verse says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The thought in those words, lay hold upon, is the idea of holding fast, of clinging on. And look at verse 19. We find the words, which hope we have. And that's a word that indicates possession. So in both verses 18 and 19, we find that the hope that has been presented to these people is now possessed by these people. What a wonderful change that was for those individuals. Formerly being outside and now being inside the family of God. Formerly being without Christ and now being found in him. They now possess this hope. The commentator John Gill spoke about verse 18, and he said this about Jesus Christ. He is set before us to be laid hold on, which intends an act of faith, which grace lays hold on the person, blood, and righteousness of Christ. Men and women, young people this evening, the person who by faith believes on Christ lays hold of his blood, his person, and his righteousness. They are enabled to do so because God gives them faith. And as they lay hold on him, then they come to possess a hope, which is like an anchor for their soul. And they've got something, perhaps, unsaved person tonight. They've got something which perhaps you don't have. Do you know that Christian person who always seems to be fairly stable, who seems to have something in them that keeps them grounded and keeps them perhaps happy in circumstances where you're not happy? It gives them a peace and a joy that you know you don't have. Can I tell you that what that person has is hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ? And can I tell you very clearly that if you do not have that hope, and if you leave this world without hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ, that you will go to a lost eternity without him? You will then have no hope, even of a gospel opportunity. No more opportunity to accept Christ. All those opportunities will be gone. The picture presented to us in our text is the picture of an anchor. And this is what the author of Hebrews describes hope as. It says in verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. This is a simile. And here's the picture. The world is like a sea, an ocean. The believer is like a ship or a boat out sailing on that ocean. The anchor that comes from the boat and is fixed somewhere in the distance is hope. And of course, the rock on which our hope is anchored is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, for an anchor to function, it has to be attached at both ends. It's no good taking an anchor in your boat and throwing it over to the side and not tying the other end of the rope onto your boat. It will not do you any good. And so if this illustration and if this analogy is to make sense, well, how do we understand it? Well, hope is fixed to our hearts. Hope is possessed by us, by the gift of faith. You see, at the other end, the anchor is fixed on the rock, that is Christ. And how is it that we have an anchor of hope that is fixed on Christ? What is it that binds us to him? It's faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is given to you. Believer, you know this. But unsaved person, perhaps struggling to understand if you came and accepted Christ, how you would be kept and how you would live the Christian life and not sin in a way that you think would cause God to reject you. Can I tell you that's not biblical? And that's not found in Scripture? Because the Lord says, whoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And how is it that he keeps us? How is it that we have the anchor of hope fixed to us and also fixed to Christ? It's because it's fixed to us by the gift of faith. God gives us faith to believe. God gives us faith to lay hold. In the words of John Gill, faith lays hold on the person and the blood and righteousness of Christ. And so we find hope that is presented and hope which by the believer is possessed. And now I want to come to look at the nature of this hope. And this is the part of the message that personally I enjoy the most, because it just opens it all up and it just shows me so much about what this hope is and what kind of hope it is. It's hope persevering. Hope persevering. Look with me at verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That little word sure means secure or certain. And the word steadfast means stable or firm, both qualities that you would want in an anchor. And Christian hope enables the believer to persevere throughout life's journey, as was the apostle's wish in verse 11, if you look at that with me. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The apostle is saying that he wishes for the believers in Jerusalem, the Hebrew believers, to persevere unto the end. And he encourages them here in verse 19 by telling them about the hope which we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. But believer, you and I both know that at times, we may doubt, we may have fears. And at times when life gets difficult, And if you will, there's a storm on the sea of life. And our boat is knocked about. And the winds are blowing. And the waves are crashing over the decks. Look at what we're shown about this hope. How is it that we know the hope is sure and steadfast? Two things as we come toward a close. The first reason the hope is sure and steadfast is because of where it is fixed. And I want to take for this the words of the chorus of the Boys' Brigade hymn. Number one, fastened to the rock which cannot move. I don't know if you've ever heard the term immutability, but that's one of the aspects or the attributes of God's character. Immutability simply means unchangeable. And if you look with me, it's not a word that I've made up. It's found here in verse 17. It says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things. And that simply means, men and women, two unchangeable things. Two things which are unshakable, which can't be changed, which can't be challenged, and which will never falter in any way. In Titus 1 and verse 2, we find these words, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me that God's eternal counsel is immutable. It can never be changed. And the Christian hope is therefore founded on the unchangeable counsel or plans of an unchangeable God. Does that give you confidence this evening? That God never changes. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. And this is the context in which we're given the image of the anchor. The anchor comes to us after the writer of Hebrews has been talking about the immutability of God's counsel. And that is important, and we should take note of that, because that adds to the picture of the anchor. Hope, which is an anchor for our soul, is fastened to the rock, which cannot move. And if the rock can't move, then the anchor can't move, and he will hold us. And so the second aspect of hope persevering presented to us in these verses in the end of the chapter is described in the words grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And that speaks to me of Christ and his work for us. And in particular, there's one aspect of Christ's work as our Redeemer shown in verse 20. And it's his work as our great high priest. Verse 19 and 20, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Christ, the great high priest, was the only one who could go into the holiest of holies. He was the only one who could go into that place, as represented in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, behind the veil. And he entered into that place by his own blood, as it says later in Hebrews. He was the only one who could do it. And the reason he went in with his own blood was to present himself as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of all who will call upon him. And we are told tonight that the anchor is cast within the veil. And that tells me that the anchor is fixed on the rock that is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, God, the immutable God, and Christ Jesus, our great high priest. That's what our anchor is fixed upon this evening. And what we're told about the high priestly work of Jesus Christ, if you just turn over to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24, continues this theme of immutability or unchangeability. Hebrews 7 and verse 24 says, but this man, because he continueth ever. That tells me that Christ Jesus is eternal. And go on, it says, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And there we have this idea again, unchangeable. The rock that is Christ Jesus will never move. And his work for us is unchangeable. It will never fail. Do you know, believer, that Christ intercedes for us right now? And do you know that he will continue to do so? He will continue to represent us before God the Father. He will continue to pray for us. What an assurance that is this evening. What insurance we have of a hope that is sure and steadfast, because look who it is fixed upon. You and I know how changeable and how fickle we are, and how we vary from day to day. Our feelings change. They're different every morning. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we study this passage tonight, and we look at the hope we have as an anchor of the soul, that will give us, men and women, patience to bear the trials of this life, to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, to bear the persecution which we might suffer at work, perhaps in your family from unsaved family members. It will give us strength to persevere through those times of illness and ill health when we wonder, what is God's plan for my life? Times of uncertainty in business, when everything that you've worked so hard for seems to be falling down around you. Never forget, believer, that you have an anchor of your soul, which is the hope of eternal life, and that it is fixed on the rock that is Christ Jesus, which can never move, and that it is grounded in his love for us. Unsaved person this evening, you have been hearing about a hope of eternal life which you don't possess. And I long tonight, I long that you would come to Jesus Christ, and that by faith you would lay hold on him and what he has done for sinners, and that you would trust him this evening, and then this hope would be yours as well. And it is my prayer that you will do that even tonight. Let's bow our heads at the close of this service, please.